I think it's always special just to have the ladies. And I enjoy it a lot. And I am the type of person, before I start, I'm going to do something on women and God's purpose or the gifts that God has given to women, because I'm the type of person I like to find out why or how things work or what's the plan. Or like I say, I'm more of a visionary. If I see where it's going and I understand what it's about, then I'll go. I can go for it. But if you don't really have the whole plan and the puzzle, of course, it's still always a puzzle. But to have still see what God had in his heart when he created something, if he is the architect and the creator of everything, you know, if you get like a new washing machine or a computer, you have to read the instructions to figure out how the thing works and the possibilities that are in something. You know, I know my computer, I only use it for the basics, email, taking notes, different things. But there's so much more that's there. And so I find it really interesting. That's always been my quest to understand, God, why did you do this and how did you do this? And so being a woman, I really want to understand the potential that we have, the possibilities that we have, yeah. What's really in me. So, because we really want to be what we were made to be, mm-hmm. and where we've been broken or, you know, a little twisted or whatever, how God can restore us. But he always restores something to the original plan. And one sentence that really changed my life that I love the thought about, it, this person said, usually in Christianity or theology, you go back to the fall of man, to the original sin. Mm-hmm. But this person said, don't go to the original sin, go back to the original glory in the creation, because redemption brings us back to the purpose. Yes. And so, that everything God created has a glory, original glory, original destiny, original purpose. And I thought, that is so interesting. That we can aim at least coming into, at least possessing part of the land God has for us. It's so much. God is so incredible. You know, the inheritance he's given us, the riches in Christ, the possibilities in a life of faith. Absolutely amazing. So none of us will ever be bored if we're going with Jesus. There's more and more to possess. There's more and more to be transformed. There's more and more to gain. So we're gonna do a little study on some things about a woman, what the Bible says. And my conclusion is we as women have so much possibilities that we never have to be jealous or envious of the men. I always say, we're not competing with the men, we're completing. Yes. And I have no desire to be a man or to take their place or to push them out. So we have room because they have a God-given destiny, gifts, character traits that are in men. But we as women have so much. If you just concentrate on yourself becoming everything, you have more than enough to keep you busy for the rest of your life. and how we fit in, of course, how we fit in to the whole picture. So where do I want to start? Okay, we'll start with a verse. I'm going to do a lot of verses. You can just write them down, but I'm going to start with Psalm 68. Just really quick, Psalm 68. Where is that? Let's see. Psalm 68 is an amazing march of victory when through the desert, and then David bringing up the ark again. They carried the ark of the covenant, and Moses, whenever the priest picked up the ark of the covenant to go on the journey, he would always yell out, "Let God arise, and his enemies be scattered." Okay, so this is like the journey, the march of carrying the ark, taking possession of the inheritance God has. And then it says in verse 11, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it." Okay, and in the Hebrew and also in German, it comes out really clear because they have different endings for feminine and masculine. It says, "The Lord gives the word, and great is the army of women Or great is the army of women who proclaim and publish victory. So, I believe that. That's why I don't believe women should be silent. I think that wasn't talking about never speaking. It was talking about speaking wrong and distracting and so. But the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of women, the army of women, or the hosts of women, or actually that word is the battalion of women who proclaimed it and preached it and published it in writing and got it out. And then it said, kings of armies flee, they flee, and she who remains at home divides the spoils. So there was a company of women that went forth proclaiming the victory and proclaiming to the, maybe even to the men, you know, the victory, it's won, this is the word of the Lord. And you'll see, we see in the Bible, women often are the birthers of something, or women often kick something forth, open the door, and then the men go forth in their strength and carried on. Women are quite global thinkers, quite prophetic thinkers, because we have that extra sense. We're always up there somewhere. And we can see and feel things that maybe men don't naturally pick up. We have some kind of radar antennas. So, kings of armies flee, they flee, and she who remains at home, the housewives that then take care of the homes, take care of the children. When the men go out to the battle, they divide the spoil. They have just as much part of the victory, the spoils, and everything as anybody else. So there can be some women that are out there more. There can be some women who take care of the home, and that's just as important. And then in every victory after the battle, the spoils belong to everybody, those that go and those that stay. That's also a great vision for this ministry, those that go on the mission trips, yes, and those that maintain the base, yes, because the base, the home, because we had a ministry too with people coming and going, and as leaders, I was usually staying at home, in the home, and as leaders, the home, if that falls apart while the people are out, then there's nothing to come back to. And I sometimes think everyone wants to go. But if everyone goes, you know. So everyone partakes of the spoils. And every position that God gives us, where God puts us, we're all included in bringing forth the kingdom purposes in the places where we are. Okay, so let's just go to Genesis 1. Look there. So if we really look into this whole theme, this is the whole battle where the world is still today. What's a man? What's a woman? What's a family? What's a marriage? And I see this worldwide confusion is because people are not honoring God as the creator, so they don't even know how to be human anymore. You know, if we get rid of God and get rid of the purpose of the creator that made it, they have no idea what's what. And it's so sick. And I see it also as a pure rebellion against the creational purpose of God. You know, not wanting to be who God made you to be and wanting to make yourself into who you think you should. There's such confusion. That's why the Bible is totally relevant for today. Every word is totally relevant. Everything in the Bible is where the battle is, because the devil is always against the truth to pervert it. Okay, so just if we look, it says in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us, that's important, let us. So it was the Trinity, and God is a community. Three persons, one God, but it's a Trinity unity, and God in God is a community. So when we're created in his image, we're reflecting this social relational aspect also of God. Let us make man or mankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion. And then verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So there's really only two kinds of people, male and female. And to me, that is so important that male and female together reflect the glory of God, the image or the fullness. It's not just in the male. If you just have men in the home or in the church or in the world, they don't reflect the whole glory. But and it's not just women. A world with just women, oh my goodness. They don't reflect the whole, they don't reflect the whole glory. But we have a glory. And they have a glory. And God's purpose is to restore the glory in each of us. And my conclusion to everything is to be a real woman restored for God. It has to do with our relationship and identity with the Father in heaven. Because fatherhood gives us our identity. So no matter what kind of family background we come from, we all have the best father right now. And the perfect father who we can look at and who gives us really the identity, the relationship, the covering, the education that we need. And men, I think, can only have that real courage of manhood and what they need. They can't get it from a wife. We can't get our identity from a husband. And that's a lot of where the problem comes. If we don't have a real relationship with God, making us complete women, then women are looking for love in all the wrong places. And then we're expecting a man to complete us or fulfill us, and then we're not mature enough to give in a marriage, and then the men sense they're disappointing us, and they feel really then incapable of making... I really believe men want to make their wives happy. Mm. But it's a challenge. What man can make us happy? That's why I think we have to get the best man, which is Jesus. And he makes us happy. And then we are fulfilled and we're not sucking that out, and which we never get. And that your marriage will go downhill. And men can't be really get from us their identity as a man. They have to get that from the Father and from other men. So if a man marries and he doesn't really have an identity and he is really not have a stronger relationship with God, and then the wife doesn't, you actually have double problems instead of just your own. So that's why I think it is important to understand how we function, how we are fulfilled in through Christ, and then, you know, we still have to fit ourselves together. But it makes it much easier if there is a maturity and if each one is connected with God. It really helps a lot. Okay, so he created them male and female. So we're looking at the female design or the female glory that God's put within us. And this has always been a key for my life. And then it says, then God blessed them and God said to them. Because when I was young, there weren't very many women around. In ministry or so. There were some. I had examples. But I didn't really see it in a marriage either, mostly. And so when I read that, God blessed them and God said to them, then I thought women are blessed as much as men. God blessed the woman and the man. Not just men are blessed and not just men are anointed. God blessed them. And God said to them. So each one of us is important to be who God made us to be. Okay, so God blessed them and said to them, but the fruitfulness, the multiplying, fill the earth and subdue it is in the community and in the oneness of men and women, but also of the community. So be fruitful, but you can't have a strong community if there's weak members. The weakest member weakens it. So each one, even in the body of Christ, grows up into the head and receives direct from God the life that each of us can function in the place God has. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth with the kingdom of God, fill the earth with the revelation of God, fill the earth with the beauty of God, the glory of God, the message of God, the truth of God. Wherever you are, fill the earth you're in with joy, with peace, with kingdom, culture. Fill the earth and subdue it, which means conquer or tread down the enemies. So even in the beginning, we're called to fill the earth, but also if there's any enemies, demonic blocks, attacks, we have authority to trample that down. Okay, so as women, we're blessed and have a glory. Then in chapter 2, I can't go into too many of the details, but God created the man, we all know that, formed him, direct, breathed into him, took him from the dust, breathed the life of God, and man become a living soul. And then God made everything else, and God made the garden, put the man in it. And then, of course, God says, it's not good for the man to be alone. And then he said, I will make him a helper comparable to him. So this is a great verse, a helper comparable to him. If you want to write down the Hebrew word for helper is Ezer, E-Z-E-R, Ezer. And complementary companion, completing, complementing, is kinegdo, Ezer kinegdo. That's what women are called, a helper comparable. And that means if we're comparable and compatible, women are created equal. Yeah. Or we wouldn't be comparable and compatible. Mm-hmm. He could have had the animals for friends. Because before he made the woman, God had all the animals come before Adam. But there was no animal compatible. So, a dog might be a man's best friend, but a woman is still his equal. On the same time, we think, we have emotions, we're intelligent, we can relate. We are totally created in equality. That's an important point, because before, you know, you didn't even know if women were equal with men. Okay, so we're helpers, compatible. We fit. We're on the same level of life. We have the same level of intelligence. We can speak and communicate, and we're compatible. This is like a real key for the bride of Christ. When the church came out of Christ, she was in Christ and came out of him. It's an incredible picture, but we're not going to go there. Okay, then an important thing to understand this is this word Ezer, helper, helpmeet. That word is used mostly for God. For example, 16 times God is called our shield and our helper. Or the Lord is my helper, the Lord is my shield, my help is in the Lord. It's this word, Ezer. And it has to mean, it's an aspect of God's character that protects, rescues, saves, strengthens, helps, fights for and protects. And women are a comparable helper. Now, if you call someone to help you, that person has strength and abilities that you need to be helped. We are, I don't want to say this, but a man said this when he was preaching. I'll go over this again, but women are loaded with abilities that men need. To help them, if they're humble enough to receive it. But a helper is not someone on a lower level. It's not a doormat. You're never a non-person. That's not what you're created to be. Remember this thought. This is easy, and this is important. The woman was taken from the side, from the rib. She wasn't taken from his feet to be a doormat. She wasn't taken from his head to be a dominating. She was taken from the side. Side by side. Equal. Close to the heart for relationship. And to put his arm around to protect. The man to protect. So, an Ezer kinegdo, a helpful meet compatible, is a valuable strength. And actually, a mother figure is an incredible, valuable strength in the family, in the church, in the workplace, in the community. Women are totally valuable strengths and are loaded with help to bring things forth and support. Yes. I think it's important to understand who we are. And why we get frustrated. Actually, the word Eliezer, for example, that's what Moses named one of his sons. Ezer, that's what it said, Ezer, or Ezer. I don't know how they say it. Okay, Ezer. Eliezer means God is my helper. He has delivered me from Pharaoh's sword. So we women have really these qualities to fight for and protect our home, our families. And as I said, women protect the boundaries of obedience to the Word of God. Women are, if you look at, so, Mother Bears or Mother Whatever, they are actually warriors and fighting to protect what God, the home and the boundaries in God's word, and they really also help the man stay on track, if we're honest. Okay. Okay. A valuable strength. I always say, women, keep your dignity. You're never a non-person, a lesser person, and a never a doormat. But of course, we don't fight for our rights, but we have to know who we are. If you know who you are, it helps. Just like the queen, she knows who she is. So even if circumstances want to bring you down, if you remember who you are, you're still always who you are. You know, I think this is important also for young girls in the world today. Don't sell yourself cheap to anybody. Remember your dignity. Remember your identity. You're a princess, a daughter of the highest king. Okay, so one other very interesting thing that I find very interesting, the Holy Spirit is called the Helper. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another helper. If we look at the Holy Spirit, he has many qualities that a woman has. Not that I'm saying the Holy Spirit is feminine, but in God is both the feminine and masculine. It's all there in the Godhead. And many areas of the Holy Spirit, and even his names, are qualities that we as women would have. So, for example, the Holy Spirit, that word helper, comforts. Now the Bible says, as a mother comforts her children, so the Lord comforts those who fear him, or whatever, however it goes. Okay, comforter, counselor. Women are great to counsel, help, give advice. You know, if your husband listens, if a husband is smart enough and have a very good relationship, and you say things the right way, it's important how you say it. It's very important. Don't beat him over the head with it, or say, don't you know this? Just say, like, usually just throw it out and let them think they thought it eventually. And then they're really, I still don't really get this all the time. But anyway, did you, anyone see that, my big fat Greek wedding? Yeah, that's so funny. And that's exactly, I know Suzette Hetching, she's this big woman evangelist preacher who worked with Reinhard Bunker, a single woman. And she is in a lot of meetings with men. And she, how did she say she does it? Oh, also, she just throws it out. And then eventually they're talking and talking and talking. And one of them will say it. And then, oh, they think it's really good. Okay. But anyway, the Holy Spirit nurtures us. He nurtures Christ in us. The Holy Spirit does a lot of work in the background within us. And women also do a lot of work in the background, getting things ready, making the things, getting it. So then the men come and they can take it. And that's very similar to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches, leads us into truth and teaches us. The Holy Spirit instructs. The Holy Spirit shows mercy and grace. The Holy Spirit's always encouraging us. And I think we as women have a ministry of encouragement, and you know, a lot of our gifts are where the devil wants to twist them, that instead of encouraging, we get critical. That's one thing women have to really watch. Whoa. Especially if you're a wife. Critical. That is not good. That doesn't help a man for some reason. I'm preaching to myself. Okay, encouraging. Women, the Holy Spirit speaks. He talks. He is often the unseen one who prepares and empowers us. So we also empower our children. We empower our husband. We can give them good input. We can give them good thoughts. I know William and Catherine Booth, the founders of the Salvation Army in England, her life was the most amazing autobiography I read. She was a very intelligent woman, and he was more simple. And she, in her teenage years, she was sick, and she had to lay for a whole year. I think it was on her stomach. Anyway, she read all these books by these great theologians like Finney and all of this theological stuff, and she was really trained and a very bright thinker. And she would write sermon notes or give him points for her husband. She was a total, empowered him. Stood with him, supported him, prepared things. Okay, we don't have to always give our notes to our husband. I help Michael with some thoughts, but I also like to say it myself. Okay, they intercede, testify, counsel, and that's all. These are all things that the Holy Spirit does. So does a woman. So we need to know our full identity and also what God has given to us. What are the gifts we have? What are the possibilities we have? What is the potential we have? What is the inheritance we have as women? So here's a few other things that I think women excel in. You can't put everything into a role and box. You know, this is just like general. Relational. Women are for sure relational. When we're together, we ask our questions, we talk, we know everything. Mike and I were one time in this home of this pastor. And Mike was reading his Bible in the corner. And then the pastor's wife and I were sitting there. He was in shock. Within a half hour, I knew her whole life story. She would never have found that out in a year. I knew how she got saved. I knew how she met her husband. I knew this. I knew where she, I knew everything. We're relational, and we share, and we have, women are emotionally intelligent. We're not only intelligent, but we actually are sensitive, like to how someone else is feeling. We pick up, you come into a room, if we're a woman, you don't even have to say anything. You're in the room, see everybody, feel it, you know exactly this, that. You pick it up. We pick up things. We're emotionally intelligent, which is sometimes hard. Whereas the men, they don't pick up as much. They're not as sensitive, which sometimes is a protection because they see things clearer. That's why I'm happy I have a husband. If I say, did you notice that? No. Did you hear that? No. Did you see that? No. But then sometimes if I say things that are probably not really, I didn't pick it up right, he'll say, I don't think. They don't pick up so much, which is sometimes maybe good. They live in really the more, but they pick up. But they don't pick up as much as we do. I always say, did you see that? Did you hear that? Da, 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 da. Okay. So we have the, we can feel how people feel. So we can be sensitive. We can try to, we're very good at creating relationships. We try to keep peace and make harmony. Okay. Women are, well, we're going to get to this point, but women are birthers. They give life. That's why women make great intercessors and bringing things forth. We love to bring something forth. Creative qualities that are in God are in women. Because God wanted a family he created, he brings things forth. And that's one reason I believe the devil hates us so much. Angels cannot reproduce. Angels can't bring any. The devil's a fallen angel. He doesn't have that. He hates that. That we can bring forth things. He hates that. So, women are birthers. They are great intercessors because they're persistent, tenacious. They hold on. When they want something, they know it's theirs. Even Jesus told parables about prayer and using women as the tenacious women that don't give up when they know that's their rights. Okay. Great intercessors, they're defenders. defenders of truth, as I said, boundaries. Women like to keep unity and peace and order. They're nursing and nurturers. Not only do they like to bring something forth, but then they like to see it come forth and walk with it through the processes and really bring it through. These are amazing qualities. That's why I say I'm never jealous of the men. I definitely respect them. I'm still trying to figure myself out. I haven't really figured them out at all, so I don't need to try too much. But maybe when we figure ourselves out, we can figure them out, but whatever. Just we love them and support them and want them to be everything they're made to be. Okay. Women are supporters. They create safe places, peaceful boundaries. That's why women in a church or women that make centers to help people, drug addicts, or different things, women like to really create places of refuge and safety and borders and help and this. That's in a lot of who we're made to be. Okay. Women are, as I said, global. You know, it's very known that women are multitasking. They can do a lot of things at one time. Mm-hmm. And whereas men, Mike always preaches this message, men are like waffles. And women are like spaghetti. They're in their box. Waffles have the little boxes, right? If the man is in one thing, thinking about one thing, doing one thing, that's where he's at. Mm-hmm. And then Mike always says, and sometimes they're in a box where they're not thinking about anything. Whereas women are never not thinking about anything. But they can do that. I mean, the world calls it men in the cave. They go into like a cave and they're just there. And that's why one reason I believe God created the woman is that it's not good for the man to be alone because we bring them out to communicate. We're not satisfied if they're just there somewhere, you know. We want to know. We're challenging, to say the least. So, but we don't just think in a like a box or one thing at one time. We're thinking here, we're thinking there, we're doing this, we're doing that a little. And Mike loves when we talk, because then I'll be talking about this, but then somehow I'll skip to this. Yeah. And he's always trying to figure out, how did I get from that to that? He tries to follow the flow, but then he'll have to stop, because he says, if we're talking about this, then I stay on that, and I'm still going like that, but I'm already somewhere else, you know. So he's trying to figure this out, but it's fun. It's fun. Okay. And then, that's so funny, because then I'm already somewhere else. And he's in that spot still. Okay, so another thing, women, where we have some of our weaknesses to watch are, women are receivers, and we're very open. That's why I think the devil went to Eve. Yeah. Because she's open. That's why women are open for more of God. That's why women press in. We have to receive love. Men are givers. It's hard for men to receive. That's one reason it's not as easy for men, I think, to receive. Men like to give. And that's why if they can't make you happy or give, they feel depressed or sad. Men are givers. Women are receivers. So it's easy for us to receive God's love. We're open. Mm-hmm. But if we don't receive anything, and because we're responders. So if we receive love, we respond with love. That's why women are made actually to respond to the love of a man. So if the man doesn't give anything, you can't really respond. So women are responders and receivers. And that's why I say, I know myself, I need a lot of love, a lot of love. So I know where to go for a lot of love. To the fountain of love and get that love and keep receiving it and receiving it. Because I personally believe if we're spirit, soul, and body, your husband can love you and understand you more and more. But the deepest part of us in our really who we are, spirit can only really have that satisfying, secure love from God. Women need that security. And even though I'm married and have a lovely husband, I get my security from God. And my safety and what I need from God. I also get that, of course, through my husband. But the deepest places of us to be loved for who we really are, accepted for who we really are, known for who we really are, is really in the spirit with God. So I believe when we do have these needs, but that's why women, you know, give themselves to any man or you know, always looking for men to meet their needs. But it doesn't go as deep as they really need it. Okay. I don't know if that makes sense, but okay. Now we would just want to look at this thing about bringing forth. So then Adam and Eve fell, and Eve, of course, was deceived. She was open, but the enemy deceived her. And then Adam listened to his wife, and because he loved her so much, I personally believe that one teacher I know said, Adam chose to live in the flesh with Eve instead of with God in the spirit. He put his fleshly needs above God, and he knew she was fallen, because I'm sure all of a sudden her glory was gone. And he was not deceived, but he chose rather to disobey God also with his wife. So, as women, we have to be careful that we are open to God and under the lordship of God, because we have influence. Women have influence. We really do. We might not have the position or the titles that men have, but women have influence. Okay, so anyway, then God comes and he says, here's just the thing for the woman. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but verse 14 or 13, God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go. So most people believe that the serpent was not crawling on the ground. He was a beautiful creature somehow. And that the devil entered in and used him. Which you can also see, the devil always disguises himself into something beautiful and lovely. And you need this and this is good. And God's a meanie, and he doesn't want you to be like him and be smart and independent. Go ahead, take it. Don't listen to God. You won't die. Okay. All this, the devil, he hasn't changed at all. Okay. And then God says, I will put enmity, which means conflict, hatred, struggle, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, crush you, and you shall bruise his heel. But it still cost Jesus everything to crush the serpent's head. Okay, so here we see God, right at this place, decrees that from the woman, a seed of the woman, is going to come the Messiah, the Savior, the hero, the champion that was going to redeem humanity. This is the mercy of God right there. And this is also the virgin birth, where God decrees the seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's head. So right, this is like the first time the gospel is preached by God himself, that death is not the end. There's going to be a Messiah, a Savior, a Redeemer, who's going to destroy the devil and rescue us. And not only will he be a conqueror, but his whole seed will be a conqueror. And we're the seed of Christ. We're the offspring of Christ. We are the seed of Abraham. So in Christ, not only does Christ defeat the enemy, but it says, the Bible says, the God of peace will shortly crush Satan under your feet. He's also crushed under the church's feet. So We see here this conflict, the war, right in the beginning of two kingdoms clashing. Seed of the devil and seed of the woman. This is the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Right in the very beginning. So you can't say as a Christian we're not in conflict. I don't Christians that say we don't have a struggle or we're not in a battle. They must live I don't know where. We are in a battle. And the battle is really against the two kingdoms fighting. Christ now has come, bruised the enemy's head, and brought forth his seed, the church, and we are riding with him in this victory. But just to see how God redeems the woman to give her this gift of bringing forth a seed of victors, a seed of heroes. And I always take that personally for all of us women, that we are actually called to bring forth others who are overcomers. Whether it's your own children or other people, discipling that you're making, this is not just for, I don't see this just as in your own family. It is your family, but we as women, I believe, and also the bride of Christ, which is the church, is called to bring forth overcomers, bring forth champions, bring forth really this army. So women are birthers, and we also nurture people to overcome. We want our kids to overcome. We want to set the boundaries. We want everyone that we can to overcome and bring forth a seed of victors. And that's part of what God's given us. And wow, I think it's amazing. Amen. So Adam then, who was given charge of all of creation, and we were created to support him, to assist him, to work together with him, Adam then names his wife. She didn't have an individual name before the fall. They were so united. They were so one. They didn't have their separate identity. But Adam named the animals, and it says right after God said this. Where am I now? Let me just see. Verse 20, chapter 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. First time blood was shed.
Which and chapter?
That was chapter 3, verse 20. First mention of where a lamb was, probably a lamb or whatever, was slaughtered, and God took those robes and covered the man and his wife, which is also a picture of Jesus covering us. So, this is a great, incredible thing. Eve, the word for Eve is Shava in Hebrew, Shava. That's a pretty name. Okay, and that means mother of all living. This is what we also have as our identity. We are life-giving, birthers of life. In the midst of death, when Adam and everything else and the whole creation came under the curse of death, and even though man had fallen, God proclaimed life was still going on. Eve was going to bring forth a seed that would redeem. And so Adam, in faith, named his wife Life Giver. His wife would have a seed and bring forth a champion. So Eve would bring life. And so we as women are life givers. Isn't that amazing? Wherever we go, we want to release life. And that's why this whole thing with abortion today is such a shame for us women. Our rights are more important than the life of a child. I mean, really, it's a perversion of everything a woman was destined to be. And that's what the devil does. Okay, and so Adam named her, and what he named her, what he named the animals, naming something gives it its destiny, its character, what it was made for, and so he named his wife Eve. She was the mother of all physical living things. God's grace in the human race would continue, and also then, through the seed of the woman, the Savior came. So, We have this word to life givers means to have life, to give life, to restore life, quickening life, reviving life, nourishing life, refreshing life, vigor of life, preservation of life, sustenance of life, restoration of life. For an example, preservation of life. Look at the story of Moses, the great deliverer. First of all, there's the three Hebrew midwives who should have killed all the boy babies, but they feared God more and they preserved the life. Then there's Moses' mother who saw the beauty of that child and knew that God's hand was on him, and she hid him and she wasn't afraid. Then there's Moses' sister who watched what was going to happen. And then there's the daughter of Pharaoh, who was also a woman, who saw the baby and preserved the baby and took the baby, moved by her woman heart of the enemy. The Pharaoh said, kill them. This daughter took him. And look at Moses, the great deliverer, who saved, preserved, and brought him forth. Women. Look at the call we have for the generations, for helping, for discerning the beauty of God in something and wanting to see it come through safely. Women, arise and shine and let those God-given qualities come forth. Don't be afraid to fight for what you love. And that's why I, as a woman, also see things in the world. You think of the next generations. Whoa. I mean, we really have to fight for things. And that's why when I hear women be silent, everything within me says that is robbing a big part of what God wants to release. I don't believe that for one second because I don't see it anywhere in the Bible. Except where it says that. But I don't believe it's saying. But I see other scriptures. And you have to take all the scriptures, not just one.
Yeah, that's right.
Every other scripture. I was thinking of that today, just what I was thinking. Okay, what did Mordecai said to Esther? If you remain silent as a time like this, God will raise up another deliverer. But you and your father's house will perish. And she had to go in and take action and speak for her people. Where does it say to remain silent? I mean, there is a time to be silent, and that's really important. But I want to show you one other scripture. Deborah. That's why you have to take all the scriptures. I mean, Deborah is the bomb for all of us. I mean, there's a Theresa May and Angela Merkel. I mean, women today have unlimited possibilities in the world to have an influence. But anyway, then Deborah and Barak sang a song. This is my favorite story for women because the women and men go together. And she doesn't take the place of the man. She encourages the man. She uses her gifts to build the warriors up and they go and fight. That's why I love this story. Each one works with the other to bring them into their destiny. Okay, and so here it says, I'm going to read verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted. The travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel. There was so much violence and danger and crime and oppression from the enemies that the people, the children, no one could go outdoors. Everything was oppressed. Everything was violence. And then it says, until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. She was a mother that cared for the people that she lived with. And she arose. And then it says, which I love, in verse 12, awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake. Sing a song. That reminds me of Mike last night. Awake, awake, Deborah. Sing a prophetic song. Start speaking out what God is saying. Just start saying it and others will catch it. Awake, awake, Deborah, mother in Israel. Awake, awake, sing a song. Arise, Barak. He was the leader of the armies, the general. Arise, Barak, and lead your captives away, O son of Abinoam. Arise and fight. Break this captivity off of the people and set the captives free. And together, they won. So Deborah's prophetic song of the timing of God awoke. She didn't take, as I say, never take the place of the man. And I don't believe this lie that God will take a woman if he can't find a man. Because God takes a woman because she is a woman and she has qualities that he wants to use as a woman. And then we want to believe that we can support and strengthen the hearts of the men, win their respect so much that we inspire them, and then they come into their fullness of the strength and the authority God's given them to rule and then go forth. Okay, so it doesn't say, awake, awake, Deborah, be quiet. It says, awake, awake, sing a song. Awake, awake, sing a song. And, of course, the biggest thing, if you want to think about it, the first, I read this today again from these notes, and I was in shock. I didn't even remember this point, but the resurrection morning when Jesus rose from the dead. The first person that saw him and the first word out of his mouth on resurrection morning, John 20, was, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? First word was woman. And then he gave her the message, go tell the apostles, go tell my brothers that I'm risen, I'm going before them. And he appointed, he didn't say, don't tell them, we got to find a man to tell the news. And that is the picture of God redeeming us back to the full equality. And then she went and awoke the apostles, just like Deborah. As I said, women are very open. Women are hungry. Women want more. Women, they have that. And so that's why many times a woman will start something and the men get it and move out and do what God has for them to do. Many times, not always, but we can't say women are birthers. The first convert in Samaria, in the nations, was a woman of Samaria. Jesus met the woman at the well. She experienced Christ, and she ran into the city and got the whole city and all the men in the city, and they came out to Jesus, the first convert. The first convert in Europe was a woman. Paul went to Philippi. He saw a man come over and help us. And he gets there and he only found a group of women. Mm-hmm. And the first convert was Lydia, a woman, who took him into her house. And afterwards, the jailer and his family got saved. And some people think the jailer was the man that Paul saw come over and help us. But he started with a woman. Mm-hmm. So please, ladies, get the picture. Be free from all tradition and culture into the kingdom world with the right respectful attitude. We can't be bitter, angry at men. If there's any of that in a woman, that's going to come out, and that you have to deal with any issues. Okay. So, I'm going to go to one more scripture. Are you there? Oh, yeah. Okay. We have a little time. Proverbs 31, the famous chapter. I don't look at it exactly, but anyway, just to say, this is an incredible verse. This says, who can find, verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife? Now, that's also funny, because the word there is also actually a valiant a woman of valor or a valiant wife. When it's used in the Bible, it comes up many times as warriors, trained warriors. And the way you say that, a woman of valor is eshet, which is woman, E-S-C-H-E-T, eshet, sha'il, C-H-A-Y-I-L. That's a woman of valor. Woman is Eshet and Sha'il is warrior or valiant, valor. That can be also translated also with army or troops of armies. Many times it's used in the Bible for men of war. So here we have again this great host, this great company of women army proclaimers. And the word also can mean force, power, might, wealth, valor, strength, worth, and virtue. That's what God calls, says, who can find a woman of valor? Let's say God find me. God make me into a vessel of honor to be what you want me to be. And this is a quote from someone. We are a true Eshet Sha'il, or Sha'il, when we choose to crucify our flesh, ladies, and walk according to the Holy Spirit instead of how we feel. That's where your book is important, about emotions, from Joyce Myers. We are true Eshet Sha'il when we choose to crucify our flesh, our fears, our control. Much of our control comes out of our fears. Much of our fears comes out of a lie. And God help us to really walk in the Spirit and not, and more and more get set free from these areas of our life. Praise God, we're being transformed. Okay. If you look at this chapter, this woman, I mean, I think it's beautiful. It says her worth is far above rubies. But I like this where it says the heart of her husband safely trusts her. You know, a husband needs to feel safe. Sometimes we wonder, why doesn't my husband open up more, say more, share more? But if they don't feel safe with us, yeah, they won't. Yeah. They're very careful to express how they feel, because that could make them look weak or something. This is a really important point. I was in a marriage seminar once, and they said men have, like, they have like a, they're almost like in a tank, an armored tank, you know, and for them to come out, they have to feel really safe. Okay. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's interesting. Just to put the perspective of an, in a marriage, if you're married, or for any woman, we should really respect men as much as we can. And anyway, women came out of the rib. Actually, that means, and it's really true, it's mean, like in a house, the beam or the pillar or the support. If you're married, your husband really does depend on you for inward support. You can make, it says, a wife is a crown to her husband. In other words, if your husband gains support, inward support, and feels safe, and he has that inward strength, that will make him a king. That will add really to his identity and ability to function. God made us to be a helpful, compatible companion. Okay. So anyway, she has this incredible ability. She takes care of her home. She's like a merchant ship. She finds food from afar. She's up in the night getting things ready. She buys a field, which I see, you can interpret it. Also, Jesus said the field is the world. She goes out. She takes possession for God. She's increasing. She plants a vineyard. Also in the Bible talks about vineyards are the Lord's vineyards, bringing forth the vines of God, the churches. She's discipling. She's totally not just home in her little. The husband is not like controlling her and telling her what she can and can't do. She is taking the initiative, planting, bringing forth profit. She could be a businesswoman. She can be however God really leads her if you read this. And she's really increasing also in wealth and riches. And it says she extends her hands to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. So she's gaining, but she's taking care of people. She's providing. And it's quite amazing. All her household is clothed with scarlet, which is red. I would say all her household is saved and covered in Christ's righteousness. And it says she makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Fine linen is righteousness, and purple is the color of kingly royal. She's clothed in splendor, and she has a majesty and a royalty. It says she makes linen garments and sells them. Linen garments, garments of righteousness. She's bringing people to Christ. She's clothing people. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall laugh at the future. This is incredible. But anyway, so we see she's not just... She is a woman of valor. She is an army. She's loaded with treasures that God's given us women, and we don't have to hide them. He wants all of us to use the talents he's given us and develop those talents. So, another point, I'm almost done. Mothers, as I said, are life givers, life nurturers, life trainers, life defenders, disciplers, homemakers. They not only make homes, they fill the home with the atmospheres. See, women create the atmosphere. Not the men. If the mothers, that's why the men have this saying, happy wife, happy life. Have you heard that?
Yes.
Happy wife, happy life. That means if they can keep their wife happy, they'll have a happy life. Because the wife creates the atmosphere. And so they do try to make us as happy as they can. But as I said, I think only God can really make us happy. But they can make us happy. Oh, that's true. They can think of creative ways. Okay, so we not only build the house, we fill the house with the atmosphere. Here's another thought about mothers, just to help you also in your discipling of other people and all that you do. Mothers take something from the state of potential, they develop it, and they bring it to actualization through their creative ability. So that means we don't just have something, we actually develop it and bring it forward into its full potential. The concept of a mother, remember, I'm not just talking about having children, but also bringing forth things in the world, is creative, bringing new realities into the world. It opens doors, it creates ways, and then we bring new realities into the world, but as we bring these things into the world, we want to do it with joy, even though the process may be a painful one. Okay. And the mother process, she shapes and develops formless matter, carrying it within till it is ready to be born. And then it doesn't end with physical birth. She continues to nurse this. She continues to nourish it throughout her life, helping to actualize its latent potential and helping this life experience to its utmost potential expression. And by doing this, by things that we bring forth, bringing them further, we actually experience growth and depth of life within ourselves and those around us. I found it a blessing to have kids and a challenge and a lot of work. I had three. But I learned so much. And God did help me. He said, you need to understand the high calling of being a mother. And that's why I've looked into this. Plus, actually, I came to Germany at 21 with two other young girls. One was my real sister and another girl. And we were in Bible school together. We had prayed a whole year together. And really, I prayed with eight girls for a whole year, learning to intercede. Then three of us came to Germany. And we actually came before any other team. We were sent out first to pray for a year and prepare the way. And we actually, by God's grace, birthed this Bible school. And then we had this Bible school, which was a total miracle to come from another country in Germany in 1974. I can tell you this, the Christians were not jumping for joy, the pastors that we were there. They thought we were crazy. But anyway, we birthed a Bible school, but then I was there my whole life bringing it forth. But then you grow with what you're bringing forth, because you have to get new ability and learn this and do that and do that. And so you're growing, and then the others are growing. So coming into something, and this process is amazing, because then we also increase. And then the people we bring forth increase. So we're always... these life experiences, we're constantly coming into new levels of ability and depth of life experience within ourselves and those around us. Okay, and I'm going to close with, well, one more thing. A lot I could say, but that's, I think, good. I think that's it most of it. But I just want to read you one in Job. These are also some of my favorite verses for women. You notice I didn't talk about women submit and all the other verses, but I talked about more the glory of God that God's given us as women. I'm sure there's other. Okay, so in Job chapter 42, when God turned the captivity of Job, a lot of people say that this is a picture of Job had two families. And then he had his sufferings. His suffering was in the middle. He had the family, then he totally suffered, and then he had another beginning, a family. Some people say that the suffering part is related to when Jesus died on the cross. The first family was more like maybe Israel and the Old Testament. And then after his suffering, he came into a whole nother phase of life. He got the double portion. And in the second phase of his life, in verse 10, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends, or the Lord restored, or the Lord turned the captivity of Job. He was really taken captive by the devil. God didn't cause the suffering. Well, God allowed it. He was tested, but it wasn't God that made him sick and all the other stuff. The Lord restored Job's losses, and indeed the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So remember, whenever you go through a test, believe to get twice as much as you had before. What you've lost and what's been stolen. Believe God to always come out with the double. There's a saying in English, double for all your trouble. Double for all your trouble. I believe God for that. I've been through many things where I've lost a lot. And I believe God, double for all your trouble. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And then verse 12, I always proclaim this over my life, also every day if anyone wants a tip. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. I proclaim that over my life all the time. The Lord is going to bless my latter days more than my beginning. And then it says he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, which means a bright new day, a new morning. I said women birth new days. It's amazing. He named the first one a bright new day. The name of the second is Keziah. And that is a spice that was used in the anointing oil, the fragrance of the presence of Christ, and he named the second Karen Hapuch, which means a horn of color. It was like women, even in those days, wore color on their eyes, different colors. And isn't that funny? Nothing's new. And he named the second one a horn of color, or it's like a ray of different beautiful jewels, colors. And I always say women add color. Wherever they go to the world. So, and I always say, be the color God made you, you know. If you're a pale pastel, if you're a bright, if you're beautiful, like a peaceful ocean color, or strong wave color, whatever colors God gives you. My advice is always be the best you for the glory of God. With what God has given you, be the best you filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And God will bring out colors of His original glory that He's given you. He'll take away the fears. He'll take away the shyness. He'll take away the low self-esteem. The process of being healed and becoming secure in God makes you into the person you really are without all the inhibitions from life, from experiences, from the culture. I have to say, Jesus said, if you lose your life, you'll find it. And if we're willing to really give our life fully to God, you think you're going to lose your life, but actually those are the only people that are free enough to come into everything God had for them. So, and if you hold on to yourself and you're afraid to give it to God, you could lose some things that you never knew you really had. Because only God knows who we really are. And only God really wants to bring out all of that and heal.
Yes.
Only God can heal. Yes. Doesn't just cover over things. He can heal it.
Yes.
He can restore. He can refresh. He can take away the traumas. And God can do all of that. Mm-hmm. Miracles that really are amazing. So, and then he named the third one that. And then it says, in all the land were found no woman so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. This is for me, in Christ, we are fully restored to the beauty of the feminine creation. And in there's no women as beautiful as God's daughters in all of the nations. Believe that. Of the qualities that God wants to bring forth, actually the word holiness can be related to beauty. He restores the wholeness of what He made. That is that's the transformation that's going on in our life. It's a process. So don't be worried. You're in the process. It's always going forward. Okay. So He restored their beauty and the inheritance. They got the full inheritance with the brothers. And in Christ, there is no male or female. We can all be anointed. We can all be saved. We're fellow heirs of the grace of God. We're in the full, in Christ. The promises are not for, it's for everyone in Christ. So we have the full inheritance of the full blessings and the restoration of the beauty of our original creation, our or glory that God is restoring through Christ. And one more scripture to think about if you're still questioning women is Acts chapter 2. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. That means to speak forth the word of God. And upon your servants and handmaidens will I pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. So, as I say, look at all the scriptures and not just women be silent in the church. It has to mean something different. And I don't really want to go into all of these different things. It's very complicated. You can read it in many books. And each one says it a little different. And actually, I think we are so blessed by our Father and so redeemed by Jesus. Amen. And we do want to create, that's why I think the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. Oh my goodness. These qualities that create atmosphere, these are really important that we women, because we have that calling from God to create that. We have to create joyful atmospheres, peaceful atmospheres, life-giving atmospheres. That's our destiny. So be as free as you can. And another thing to help you is, of course, we're not doing any of this for ourselves to be seen. Our end goal is not self-realization that we're whatever. Our end goal is to glorify God. Everything we do is to glorify God. That God gets the glory through the part we play. So every one of us has a part to play. Everyone is in the drama. Everyone is in the story. Everyone has a role. And this one guy said this, which I always repeat, "Oh God, may I play my role well. And may you play your role in the story to the glory of God." We each have a role. And to live to do the will of God. And if you really, I didn't read that one scripture, but at the end of Proverbs 31 it says, "Charm is deceitful," which means a woman who uses her charm, she's manipulating to get something. "Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain," because it passes away. "But a woman who fears the Lord," that was the key to the woman of valor, "a woman who fears the Lord," or submits to the Lord's thoughts and purposes for her life and how God wants things to be, "she shall be praised, and she shall eat the fruit of the labor of her hands." So I believe women today have, there's just a call for women today, all over. I have to say in Germany also, there's so many women rising up in the church, you know, and even in the world, and you see all over. We have, really, we can influence a lot. But also this desire, you know, to build the boundaries, to protect, to bring the life, to sustain the life. So if you're a nurse, whatever you're carrying, even in your job, you can play a great role in the world. And there's such a lack of dedicated people that want to serve others with the gift God's given them, you know. I think godly women are needed who will be committed. Oh, and the one other point I wanted to make about mothers that I forgot to make, because in Germany they have very few children. I notice England has way more children, way more baby carriages. In Germany, if they're married, which not many couples are, but if they're married, they'll have 1.2 is the average child birth rate in Germany. It's very low birth rate. But I notice in England, I see women with 2 or 3 babies all over, baby carriages all over. But I wanted to say, motherhood, why so many people don't want to be mothers, is it's a very self-sacrificing. Because once you bring something forth, you're taking care of someone else. You're bringing someone else through. You have to be strong for someone else. You can't just be depressed, because you'll really affect so many others. You know, it's very self-sacrificing. And so, even in the church, you know, whatever we do, it will always cost us our selfishness, actually. But the greatest joy is to live for others, or to live to give, live to bless, live to invest, and live to give. And if you live to give, and you just use what you have, you will get more to give, and you'll always have abundance. So, who's happy to be a woman? Yeah. Who wants to glorify God? Yeah. Do you see those qualities in your life? Does that help you? Probably not true, right? I've always heard that my whole life too. But actually, and I think that's one of the worst things for a woman to be manly. I think really we need to be a womanly woman. And God can use the qualities of a woman. We'll never have the maybe the position or the titles of men, and they do have from God a strength. And that's why they're like warriors to fight, and they have incredible callings and gifts. I mean, I'm happy that they have that. I don't really want those. I'm happy with the room I have. I have enough room to, I always say I have enough room to go give everything and do everything I want. I don't have to do their part too, or take their place. And actually the qualities that we have is what are needed. what we have, you know. And that's the worst thing, for a woman to be manly or for a man to be feminine. I mean, it should be a man as a man and a woman as a woman, and we can be and develop the gifts God's given each of us. And if you look at the attack on motherhood, though, today, it's absolutely incredible. And I believe, as I said, that's also from the devil, who is so envious of us. He has a special hatred for women, but he hates us because we have in this the ability to create that we have is amazing. Keeping women silent, I also believe, was a trick of the devil. Because in the early church, it was the men and women that spread the gospel. And that's one reason Christianity spread so quickly. And Jesus broke all the cultural traditions of his time, totally liberated women. And, you know, women would talk to their neighbors at the wells. And, you know, it just spread because men and women were going forth. And then, you know, how it developed with popes and priests and the level and this and that. And I think God is bringing everything, that everything is being restored in this day to what it's to be. Even Israel being restored back to its place. And Jesus said, Jesus is in heaven. In Acts 3, it said Jesus is in heaven until the times of restoration of all things. So this is important, that we all let God restore us and everyone in their proper place.
Yes.
So it helps us have, I love to understand it because I think, okay, praise God. Whoa. So I have an aim, at least. And if we never reach the full, we're still going upwards. And when Jesus comes, he brings grace, and he'll finish. However, he's going to finish it all up. But he promised he'll do it, so. But I'd love to have an aim and understand. Okay, really? Whoa. That's amazing.